Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
What a professional therapist should say, given that question, is what you want is something that medicine says you cannot have. We can help you address these issues, but the one thing we cannot do is change your child from gay to straight. The bill does not apply to religious institutions, so priests, spiritual counselors can still teach their religion to whoever they want to. The bill only applies to licensed therapists.
That is California State Senator Ted Lieu. He is the sponsor of a bill that would ban gay therapy for minors in California. Joining us to talk about this bill and its ramifications, not only for California, but for all of us, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
I want your reaction to what your governor, Jerry Brown, had to say about this bill. He says, this bill bans non-scientific, quote-unquote, therapies that have driven young people to depression and suicide. These practices have no basis in science or medicine, and they will now be relegated to the dustbin of quackery. Your response?
Well, I'm afraid that Governor Brown doesn't really know what he's talking about there, nor does the bill sponsor. I mean, Todd, this is an area where I've feared to get involved because I'm not a therapist and this is not my area of expertise. But what the gay lobby wants us to believe is that if you're gay, you're gay, and there's absolutely no possibility of anybody ever changing their sexual orientation from gay to straight. Now, that's a very, very strong position for them to take because all it requires is one counterexample to disprove it, right? So all you have to do is have one person who says, hey, I changed, you know, and that extreme claim that they're making is down the tubes, right? And you know, I'm acquainted with people who tell me that at one time in their life they were of homosexual orientation, and now they're telling me that they are not of homosexual orientation. So what am I supposed to believe, that they're lying to me, you know? So the question is it possible for any therapist anywhere in California to do anything that would be helpful in facilitating that for a minor? And what the and what this bill says, basically, is that you're not allowed to try, even if a minor comes to you and says, I would like help with this issue. So it's a very broadly written bill. People are quite concerned about it. People in the profession and the helping professions are very concerned about it. And honestly, I expect to see some lawsuits over it. I think Liberty Counsel is probably going to take them to court and sue over this being a violation of parental rights.
Why do the advocates of the gay agenda feel the need to stick with that absolutist position that orientation is written in stone and cannot, under any circumstances, by any means, be changed?
Yeah, I think that's the right question to ask, Todd. And I think the reason they think that is because in America, at least, the gay lobby has committed itself to the position that homosexuality is not only not a mental illness, but it's an inborn, natural, normal trait like hair color or eye color, and most particularly, it's like race. They want to say that sexual orientation is like race because they want to piggyback on all of the civil rights laws that have come into place in order to protect blacks from racial discrimination, basically. And so they're wanting to go on the coattails of all of that legal doctrine and well-worked-out legal procedure and so on and so forth. They want to just kind of slide in on that. And so if that's their position, then it's very important to them to claim, to be able to claim, that sexual orientation is no more subject to change or choice than is your skin color, you know. I think that's why they've painted themselves into this particular corner and saying that no one can change under any circumstances.
Here's a concern that I have, and I think it's not one that is born of a tremendous amount of personal experience, but really just kind of anecdotal experience, especially when it comes to people who will tell their story about growing up gay, and there are a lot of books out lately about this, people who knew they were gay from the time they were little children. But they do tell about a period, especially in adolescence, of struggling with this, of feeling uncomfortable with who they think they are or how they think they're oriented, and seeking out the help of people. I imagine such a person in that adolescent period of struggle going to a therapist and the therapist saying, what Ted Lieu, the state senator from California, says the bill would require licensed professionals to say, you know, what you're asking for medicine cannot provide, really shuts the door on such a person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It absolutely shuts the door. And that's what it's meant to do, I think. I mean, I think, you know, what they would like to have people do is to say, well, I'm gay, and I have to just accept being gay. You know, that the proper thing to do, that the only thing that's conducive with human mental health is for the person to just accept that their sexual orientation is towards a person of the same sex, and learn to live with that, learn to be comfortable with that. That seems to be what they actually want. As you say, many people, for religious reasons or maybe other reasons, you know, might look around and say, I don't want to live as a gay person. I don't want that to be the key part of my orientation. I don't want to think of myself first and foremost as a gay person. I want to think of myself as a man, first of all. And maybe I'm a man who is attracted to other men, but I want to be a man, first of all. Or I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, first of all. Or I want to be an Orthodox Jew, first of all. That's the key part of my identity. So homosexual acts are not consistent with that important part of my identity. I'd like to get some help with that. It's not clear under this bill, Todd, that if somebody came in and said, I want to reduce the number of sex partners I have because this is bothering me, that they'd be allowed to be helped. It's not clear. I mean, maybe that's okay. But the point is, maybe it's not okay. And the therapist should not have to be looking over their shoulder all the time to wonder whether they're going to be sued, to wonder whether the person in front of them, in fact, is a person who is who's a plant, basically, staging a lawsuit, you know, gathering material and gathering the ability to sue them. And that's the thing that really has Christian therapists concerned, is that somebody's going to walk into their office and try to entrap them, basically. So that's a big concern also that people have.
I'm not aware, not a legal scholar, but I'm not aware of any other kind of recovery therapy being banned.
I agree, Todd. I'm not aware of it either.
If I walk into a therapist's office and I say I got a problem with alcohol or I got a drug problem, I'm not aware of that kind of recovery therapy being banned, where the state would say to the therapist, sorry, I cannot by law help you with what you perceive to be your problem.
Right, right. And what they're really saying, Todd, they're saying something stronger. You know, in other words, it's conceivable that somebody would have a therapy for curing people from alcoholism that would be abusive and not helpful. And you would say, okay, somebody does something that's abusive and not helpful, we're going to hold that person accountable and, you know, pull their license or something like that. But what this bill is saying is that there is, in principle, no possible therapy that reorients people sexually that is other than abusive and unhelpful. That in principle there can be no such therapy. And that, I think, is belied by the facts. I mean, you and I have talked before about this professor from Wheaton College, Stan Jones, who has done some serious research that has been published in peer-reviewed journals. Stan Jones is the chairman of the psychology department over there at Wheaton College. And, you know, they have been following people and tracking this. And there are, in fact, documented cases of people who seek therapy, who seek help for changing their sexual orientation, who have received some benefit from that therapy, as they define it, who have received a lessening of the cravings, who have received a release from some of the more compulsive aspects of their behavior, and so on. So So I think we know that it is possible to have some relief from some of the symptoms, even if we don't fully understand how it works, and even if it doesn't work for everyone, so on and so forth. If you banned a therapy simply because it didn't work for everyone, there wouldn't be any therapies out there for anything. There isn't any therapy that works for everybody, you know? So the standard that they're setting here is really quite impossible. And I think that you should probably get somebody from Liberty Counsel on here to talk to you about it, because I have an idea that that's probably going to be part of their legal strategy in suing over this law, because it's an impossible standard that they're asking for, and what they're basically doing is banning a therapy because they don't like it. They're basically running scared from the members of the gay lobby. I really think there's nothing more going on here but that. But it's very serious, because it means that Christian therapists are at risk when they try to act in accordance with the norms of their profession, as well as with the norms of their faith. They've put the Christian therapy community on a collision course with the law, and I think that's what that's the real purpose of this bill.
Folks, I highly encourage you to take a look at the great resources at the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute, and to like the Facebook fan page for the Ruth Institute as well. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Todd.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. He's authored a Bible study titled Collision of Conscience. We're going to talk about the HHS birth control mandate and the Christian conscience. That's all of hour two of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 2nd. If you're struggling with this, I know many do. And to the person who says, I am struggling with who I think I am sexually, how I think I'm oriented, if you will. Well, join the club. I struggle with my particular sins, not that one, but my own particular sins. The answer in that struggle is not to say, well, you know, I give up, or to listen to those who say, you shouldn't be struggling at all. It's not a problem. Your conscience, even more importantly, the Word of God tells you that it is a problem, that it's wrong. Listen to your conscience. And then be driven to that Word of God to confess this sin and live like the rest of us, redeemed and forgiven sinners, constantly, daily confessing our many sins and receiving forgiveness at the foot of Jesus' cross. It's the only way to live with that struggle. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues, Etc., right after the break.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.